All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, we should have that verse memorized. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see you and good to be walking among you. Bishop Frank likes to kind of walk out amidst the crowd so that nobody goes to sleep during the sermon. So be careful today. Amen?
Amen.
All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. That's extreme. That's the extreme opposite of what Jesus is talking about to the disciples today. Now, he's decided to go to Jerusalem. On the way to Jerusalem, he's working with the disciples, and he has an opportunity to talk about wealth today because a young fella comes up and says, hey, tell my brother to give me some of the inheritance. Now, two things are happening here. We know that this is not the older brother because the older brother automatically gets two portions. Amen.
Amen.
And that he wants to divide the inheritance of the family. Now we're going to hear about these kind of young men more later on in Luke, right? The lost young son who wants to divide the family inheritance and do what he wants and goes off into a far land. But we're not going to talk about that today. This is just a normal kind of thing that goes on in the Middle East all the time. And the Lord has not come to divide and arbitrate between those things that we have, that we consider so important. All that stuff that we have. Jesus is not interested in that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he is interested in making sure that we are healthy, robust, handsome, intelligent. Amen? Amen. But he is not worried about all the extra stuff that we think is so important. We live in a spot, a very nice spot here in Georgia that has lots of thrift stores and antique stores and all kinds of stuff. And those are places that we can rent out and show people what our collections look like. It costs just as much as a big storage room, but here we get to like display everything for everybody to see. And maybe, just maybe, someone will buy one of those things and add it to their collection too. Because we're a nation of collectors. Amen?
Amen.
Unfortunately. And President Trump is working on that right now. He's saying to everybody in the world, now, you guys out there, you know the people in the United States buy all kinds of stuff. So you gotta equal it out here. We gotta get together here. Because you know our economy is big and we love to buy stuff. And we love to have storage rooms, even if they're apart from the house, right? Even if they're over in the storage room area. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. We are collectors, but that stuff has nothing to do with our needs. That stuff has nothing to do with our salvation. That stuff has nothing to do with eternity. Amen?
Amen?
Now, the three lessons are coordinated today. The preacher in the Old Testament says, you know, I've tried all kinds of stuff, but it's vanity. I've tried to enjoy all kinds of stuff, But it's like tilting at windmills. Paul says to us in Colossians, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Well, so this is not a very happy message, Bishop. Did you get up on the wrong side of the bed today? Something like that? The unfortunate thing is, this is the message that the Scriptures bring us. We cannot be substituting stuff for the living God. But we tend to do that, and our collections bear that out. I wrote a definition of covetousness down. Covetousness is the accumulation of additional chocolate when one already has enough for their needs. The accumulation of additional things and chocolate when one already has enough. For some reason, we have a craving for this extra stuff, for more. Not because it's needed, but because we hoard it. We think somehow we may need it later on. We're not sure when. But that day never comes. Have you noticed? That day never comes. So we keep kind of stacking stuff up. And that's what happens to the man in the parable. That's why Jesus whips out this little parable for the disciples, talking about wealth. There was a rich man. And he had a wonderful year. The crop was abundant. So what was his idea? Well, let's rip down the old barns and let's build new barns. Now, let's take a look at this guy in our scripture. Just listen to what he thinks to himself and tell me what's going on here. What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Could be ample chocolate there. Amen. Watch it. Eat, relax, drink, and be merry. What do you hear him saying to himself? Who's missing in this picture? Who's missing? Is there anybody missing in this picture? Ay, 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 ay. I, me, myself, and I, called the aggressive pronouns. Me. He has no friends. He has no family. He's not talking to anybody but himself. Now, that's very unusual in the Middle East. We're going to hear parables in Luke where somebody comes at midnight. And when somebody comes at midnight, the whole neighborhood hears what's going on. Hey, I need some bread. Go home, I'm sleeping. Everybody hears that because everybody's living together. I. He has no friends. He has no family. This is a conversation he's having with himself. And he doesn't have a relationship with God. Jesus is teaching his disciples that wealth, the wealth we have, is all dependent upon God. God's blessing. Some of us think, though, oh my goodness, I better take care of this blessing because the Lord is worried that my blessings may overflow and that they'll run down the street and they won't be useful and nothing's going to happen. And so I better hold on tight as possible to my blessings. But when we hold on tight to those blessings, the Lord can't pour out into our arms, into our lives, any more blessings. And then it starts to dry up and it caves in on itself. Selfishness, covetousness, selfishness. These things that are around us can't save us. We might be able to use one or two of those things somewhere down the line. I don't know. This is difficult. The Lord wants to bless us, but if our arms aren't open, wide, there's nothing that we can catch the new blessings with. If our hands aren't open, there's nowhere for the blessings to fall, but we're holding on tight to the old blessings. We're building barns. What's going to happen? Nothing good can come of that situation. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. We live in abundance. We live in a nation where God has poured out his blessing because of freedom, because of liberty, because of the opportunity that we have individually to do whatever we want. But many times we forget where that comes from or how that comes, and we grow selfish and covetous, and this covetousness is idolatry because we begin to trust in the stuff all around us, rather than the God who gives us that stuff. Now, we have been given some wake-up calls in this century. I think the first wake-up call was 9/11. And despite the heroics of that day, our barns were attacked. The twin barns were attacked. Why were they attacked? By these Babylonians and Assyrians and people from faraway places that we don't know anything about and who don't serve the living God. Why? Because the Lord was trying to touch us and say, pay attention, peoples. You're not living for me. You're living for the barns. Now, we had some heroic people that day saving lives and giving their lives that others might be saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that our country is a disaster because we're trusting in barns. We're trusting in the abundance, and we're not trusting in the God of Israel. Amen. That's a tough lesson. Well, we were repentant. We were repentant for about 3 weeks. 3 weeks. But now, this is 25 years later. Have our habits changed? Have we drawn closer to the Lord? Are we doing more things for the Lord? Are we trusting in the Lord more deeply? No, 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 no. Nope. Now I have to say my generation. I don't know if I should go there. My generation, the elders, we've been blessed abundantly more than is imaginable, more than other peoples in the earth can understand. That's why everybody wants to come and share the American dream. But I'm not sure what we're leaving to the generations that come. We've had a housing crisis. We've had COVID, where some people were able to thrive, but many were not able to thrive. We live in a time right now. It used to be before COVID that people who were 30 years of age could buy their house, put down the down payment. That's changed. Now the average age is 38. There's been a 10-year shift in that before people can begin to buy their houses. We have a whole development over here that's been bought up by a corporation, which is a good investment for corporations. But to live in that development, you just rent. You don't buy. So the difficulty is our older generation, which has lived in abundance and has seen the blessing of the Lord, is in a totally different category than younger generations at this point. That cannot be good. That cannot be good. Our standard of living is way beyond the rest of the world. Way beyond. But we don't realize that because we're having a dialogue with I. Oh, look at that over there. Look at that over there. Oh, isn't that great? Instead of having the compassion of the Lord for our friends and neighbors and other peoples. And the Lord is saying, look, I'm pouring out my blessings, not for you only, but for other people. Share. Have compassion. Look around. Have relationships. Talk with your neighbors. Talk with your family. Find out how we can assist. Do we need additional chocolate? We'll leave that question unanswered. Not if we already have enough chocolate. Amen. Do we need more chocolate, or are we craving more chocolate? Oh my goodness. my brothers and sisters, we need to review how we look at our wealth in our lives. We're like the person that's drowning in the sea, and someone's coming to help us. The Lord is coming to help us, but are we going to let the Lord help us, or are we going to take the Lord down with us too? We can't save ourselves. Our things will not follow us. How will we stand before the Lord? And we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for biblical values. Once again, compassion, service. So that the Lord can be honored, the Lord can be glorified, and the things that He gives us, we can share. Even our chocolate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Because as we regularly say, all these things have come from God. We've been diligent, but the Lord has blessed. We've worked hard, but the Lord has blessed. Maybe we've worked too hard. Maybe we've put the priorities in the wrong spot as well. But the Lord has blessed us abundantly. Do not let this idolatry live on. Paul says, get rid of it, doesn't he? On page 6. Right? Put it to death. On account of you, the wrath of God is coming, and it has begun to be poured out. Put on then, later, lower down, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And that's because the abundance that God pours out enables us to do that. He has shown us all these things, and we need to share what we have with others. This doesn't need to be forced. This needs to be a matter of the heart. In fact, if it's forced, it doesn't do us any good. Amen? This needs to be our decision and ours alone. All right? Well, talking with the community. Talking with the family, talking with others. How can we be a blessing to others? For all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.